Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a beautiful day out here. God, sure are glad to see the sunshine and glad to see your smiling faces here in the Lord's house, and tells me that God has been good to you this week, and God has blessed you. And He's blessed us with an opportunity to come back and to honor Him, to give thanks to Him, and to seek Him in our lives and to help us as we seek to do His will and to honor Him in the things that He does for us. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, how He deserves our glory. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He breaketh them also, the skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discover the forests. In His temples does everyone speak His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Praise Him for that. Amen.
For a hymn of worship this morning, we'll use 183, first and third verse, and Benny will have the prayer. That's all saying.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met.
Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful church family that we have here at Porter. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us in a wonderful way this past week. You've watched over and cared for us and helped us through the difficult times we faced. You've helped us, Heavenly Father, in many things that we had to be concerned with. And Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we just want to honor You. We want to praise You. We want to thank You because You are the one and only true God. You are the one that we can trust. You're the one that we depend upon. You are the one who loves His people, and we thank You for that. We thank You for the love that You have demonstrated toward this church family, Heavenly Father. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have loved us and You have sent Your Son Jesus, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we might have that eternal life, the hope of living in your holy heaven for eternity, dear God. What a joy, what a rejoicing time it is when we come together and realize that we have so much to be thankful for. So we thank you now. Then we ask, Heavenly Father, you look into our lives and you know before we even face it this week what we're going to be faced with. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will equip us, that you will guide us and direct us into those things and help us to overcome, Heavenly Father, that we might be victorious in all the things that we face with this week, that we might be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Heavenly Father, that we may be good examples for the Lord, that others might see in us, him living in us, and want to have him to live in their lives. So help us to be encouragers in that way, we pray. Now take this service as an honor to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion hymn, we're going to use in 215, first and fourth verse.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest way, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
A couple of things to share with you this morning. I think I saw a couple people here this morning. I didn't recognize, didn't get to greet here. We got a new girl here this morning. Yes. Hasn't been here for a while or hasn't been here at all?
She's been here.
She has been here? Okay, I thought maybe this might have been her first time. We want to welcome her. We got a young lad here, Ryan. Boy, he's getting to be a big boy already. Ryan, good to see you here visiting Grandpa and Grandma this morning. Great. Great to see everybody here this day. And there's Samantha over there. We haven't seen her for a week or two. She's been off and visiting, I'm sure. So we're glad to see you little ones, you young folks here, and all you gals and boys. All you men and women, too. A couple things to share with you. Most of you know Donnie and Don, and he is going to get a pacemaker. And We know that any time that you have little things, we call that a little thing. I mean, anymore it seems like that's a very minor thing, but any time we have something done like that, it's major to us, and so we want to remember him and pray that things go all well, and we trust it will. And then also, most of you probably know that Vi passed away yesterday, and we don't have arrangements what's going to take place there, and so We will put that on our prayer line as soon as we find that out, whoever does that, whoever finds that out, and let you know, or you can call back and forth and find out. And that probably won't take place till tomorrow sometime. They'll probably have that. And she, as we said last week, she was taken, I think, Monday down to rehab, and then she got worse and passed away. We miss her. Okay, and so again, as we look at our prayer list, we have still the great number on there. We're missing several of our people, but for various reasons, Pauline is not real sick. I want to say, but we understand that she's not well, and so we want to keep praying for her. We miss her when she's not here, but we understand that she's not able to come a lot of times. Also, Kim and Keith, they're busy today, and who else? And can't. Ron and Tina, as some of you probably got on the got your email yesterday from him, that Ben, she works at the hospital, and he's very active, and he spends a lot of his time just going to a lot of places, and so they feel like that they may be not have that, but they may be carriers, and so they are going to lay off coming to church until they get people get a handle on this, or they are tested and so forth. And so we can appreciate that. And we do know that Tina is every day working there at the hospital, and that is a very subject place to catch something. But we pray that they don't, and they won't, we hope. But that's the reason that they're not here. Who else is missing from us this morning? But we're glad you're here, and just look around and see those that are not here. And if you know the reasons for them not being here, well, pray for them. And we want to encourage them, and we want to pray for them, those that are ill, those that are not up to power, and those that are faced with difficulties, and we want to pray that God will work them out. God is so good, and God cares about each and every one. He cares about every aspect of your life. Nothing goes on in your life that God doesn't know about and God doesn't care about. And so always be assured that God is watching over and God is caring for you. Let's just trust him with all the things of our lives. Again, these folks on our prayer list, Donna is doing a little better, Vern tells us. She's got things to go through this week. We pray that all those things will work out for her for good. We pray that she'll continue to get well. Who else is on there that we haven't got information lately? The rest of the folks, as far as I know, then are doing about as well as they were, and so forth. So, but continue to pray for them. They're on our prayer list. They have a need, and we want to pray for them. As a church family, we want to pray for them. As individuals, we want to pray for them. We're so thankful to see, and God has worked many things in the lives of our people. Even this year, we've already seen a lot of things happen to our loved ones and to the people of the church. And we see God's loving hand working in it, and we're so thankful for that. And we just pray that God will, the Holy Spirit will hover over our church family, help us, protect us, and help us in the things that we have to do. The leaders of our nation, the service people, keep them in your prayers. The care homes, hospital staffs, and so forth that are working. We was talking to a lady yesterday that said that the demand is so in the hospital. She had worked three shifts, and so we would pray that that would slack up. I hate to think about people working two and three shifts in the hospital to care for the people, but hopefully that they'll have enough staff that wouldn't happen. But we're so glad that we have people that are trained to help those in need. What else do we have in here? Pray for one another. Pray that your brothers and sisters in Christ will be blessed in the wonderful way of our God. God is so good, but let us always be mindful that he is ever present. He is always ready to help, and he has helped, and let us praise him for what he has done. Amen.
Four prayer hymn, we'll use number 250, sing the first and fourth verse, and Brian will have a prayer. So, Sam.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know and thank the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I pray Him more and more. Jesus, that You'll put a hedge of protection around all of us, including our caregivers, our nation's leaders, and all our service people, including those in our nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And we pray that You'll uplift us for everybody in this church. We go about doing Your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
The invitation hymn be number 312. 312. Now this time we'll have a special.
I am thinking today of the beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray, let me watch as a winner of souls, that bright stars may be mine in the glorious day when His praise lights us see billows roll. Will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be stars in my crown? Oh, what joy it will be when His face I behold, living gems. It would sweeten my bliss in the city of gold, should there be any stars in my crown. Will there be any stars in my crown when
So this week, something happened. You know how when God tells you to do something and you start it and then you think, I can't do that. So you just kind of push it back and try to do your own thing. Ruh-roh. Yes, ma'am. Ruh-roh is right. So I had applied for a job working with my mother. And this is probably the fourth, fifth application that I've put in at this place trying to get on. And, you know, every time my application's been pushed through to the hiring official because I've been qualified for it, but never got an interview or anything. And so last week I did the same thing. I put in another application and it was no different a position than the others that I've applied for. And I should have been qualified, but the automated thing popped up and said, I'm sorry, based on your answers, you're not qualified for this position. So it was an immediate pushback and I'm like, does it make any sense? And I got my feelings hurt and I was like, no, that just doesn't make any sense at all. So I went to talk to my mom and she's like, you're right, that doesn't make any sense because everything was exactly the same. And so I was really cranky about it. And I was really upset. Michael can tell you. And so then just, I don't know, midday, late afternoon, I was like, maybe, just maybe, this is God's way of telling you, hey, I gave you something to do. This is why it's not working. Do what I told you to do. Listen to me. And then I wasn't cranky anymore. So I kind of got scolded a little bit and just needed a reminder that, hey, God's got me. And even though I have no idea what I'm doing, he does. So I guess that's where I need to leave it, is with God, and push forth and do what he tells me to do. Amen. Right? Bear with me with this song. This is the first time I've ever done it. In front of anybody, that is. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake up in God's new heaven. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God, sheltered safe within the arms of God.
Thank you, folks, for all the music and the choir and everything this morning. Very good. If I hadn't had Donna to put the title of my message in the bulletin, I was going to use that for a question, you know, to question, ask you a question, you know. And I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but hopefully when the message is over, you might agree with me. But to find that the cross and resurrection is found in the very beginning of the scripture. I want to read from chapter 3 here, verses 14 and following, if you will bear with me, please. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of which thou wast taken. From dust thou art. In the beginning here, we have in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, we have the 6 days of creation. And then in the second chapter, we have God describing here, or Moses describing, I guess we would say, what God has done in his creation and in the creation of man. And most of you, and probably all of you, very well know the story that took place back here. God commanded them not to eat of a certain fruit, certain tree, and they disobeyed it. They were taken in by Satan himself, and they disobeyed. And so he lays out then the punishment to each one, to the devil, and to Eve, and to Adam also here. And God looked upon all these things that he had created, he said they're very good. And he did say they were very, very good. And the creation of God is very, very good, was very, very good. It is the sin of man that has deteriorated the creation of God. And so here in chapter 3, things begin to go sour. The created being by the names of Eve did the unthinkable. She was attracted by this handsome devil. And she showed interest in what he had to say. The word beguiled here has a meaning of charming. So the serpent was used here, Satan used and charmed him. And sometimes charm is used in a deceptive way. And so Eve says that he deceived her. She uses different words, but he charmed her, he deceived her here. And many a woman probably has been deceived by a handsome devil at some time or another. This chapter 3 brings the things fell apart very fast. They went from bad to worse and then to terrible, really. I thought I'd hear an amen or two back there a while ago. Things fell fast very quickly here. And we see that it actually affected the earth. It affected the two created beings here. We have the history of plagues and fevers and various diseases affecting hundreds and thousands of people in years past. They brought about death even. I was reading the other day about the plagues back in 1918, 1919. That was a terrible thing, took thousands of lives. Genesis 3 sets the stage for all of these things. Sets the stage for all these things to happen, and everything that happened in the future is set right there in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. For one thing, I say that every person that would be born from the beginning of time until today of judgment would experience that deadly thing called sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Who for as by one man sin into the world, and sin and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for all men have sinned." That which happened in chapter 3 gives us what we are experiencing in the world today. That what we experience here, it explains why there is so much evil. It explains why there is so much anguish and sorrow and pain. It really explains why we have all the diseases we have, why we have all the deformities that we have, why we have all the deaths that we have. It explains why we had World War I. It explains why we had World War II. It explains why we have all the wars. Sin in Genesis 3 brought about all the dark drunkenness that we see. It brought about all the drug addictions that we hear of. It brought about all the divorces that are in the paper. It brings about all the divisions between mankind. It has all taken place because of the disobedience of one command of two people. The one command given by the supreme God, disobeyed, brought all the destruction, all the sickness and illness and so forth into this known world today. All that we experience negative is set forth right here in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Also, we find here God's love. We see not everything that has taken place that is evil and so forth. We also see God's love. It's demonstrated in a very powerful way when he says that he will bruise your head. That word bruise has a meaning of a crush his head. Satan's head would be crushed, even though Satan would bruise his heel. Which would you rather have, a crushed head or a bruised heel? Crushed head is something drastic taking place. A bruised heel is just a minor thing. That's what happened at the cross. Satan's head was crushed. He bruised the heel of the Lord there at the cross. That's what that means here for us in chapter 3. In verse 15, God said, now speaking to Satan, the old devil, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let me give you what my thinking is here of the description of Satan. I do not believe that many people get a true description of Satan and what took place here with Eve. God is speaking to the devil, Satan, the fallen angel. He has brought upon himself the form of a serpent. Now, when you think of a serpent, you think of a snake, a slithering snake. But how many of you ever saw a snake? How many of you ever talked to a snake? When this word serpent is mentioned here, it has several different meanings. When we think about serpent, yes, it means large snake, but it also means treacherous person. Treacherous person. Satan is a treacherous person, especially one who exploits the position or trust in order to betray. Treacherous person. Sounds a lot like what we just read, doesn't it? Here's another way I see the serpent. How many of you see this? I get so tired of seeing it when I used to see it. Don't see it much anymore. This insurance agency has this little green thing, and it's in what is it, Kiko or whatever it is, a little lizard. And he stands upright and he talks. And so I picture here possibly something like him. We had the other day, we had about seven deers in our backyard. And they are really brave. And they come up there, and there was one about two-thirds growing. And we looked out the window there, and I said, Maxine, look out there. That thing was standing on its hind legs straight up, just as straight as I'm standing today. And he was nosing in our bird feeder. He had pushed that up, and he was licking that out of there right on, boy. Standing straight up. Now, I get the idea, however you see this serpent, whether this is a treacherous person, whether it is a Kiko type of thing, I don't know. But I do believe it stood up. It stood up. I get that from what the scripture says. Because God says, now you are going to slither on your belly. So I see him speaking to this. One who is Satan has taken on. Regardless how you see him, he's standing up. And he's talking. He talked to Eve. And God is talking to him. Satan takes on many forms. His devils takes on many forms. Some of you moms said, you little devil, you. That really wasn't taking on the form of Satan, though. But it was the idea, you know, that Satan takes on many forms. And his demons likewise. And God is speaking to him. I believe I believe whatever form the devil took before even God, he stood upright. He could have been like the Gecko guy, lizard, I don't know. But I get from the scripture here the idea of what God told him. And he told him he was going to be cursed. And the cursed was, see, he was going to do what? He was going to slither on his belly. He's talking to the serpent, to the snake. And of course, we know the snake now does slither on his belly. Talks about eating dust. Well, he's going to be traveling in the dust. I don't know that snakes eat dust, but I think the meaning is here that you're going to be in the dust. I can remember reading in the book of Daniel, in particular the fourth chapter, and you remember there was a man there was king, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And if you remember that, he was driven from men because of his disobedience, because of dishonor from God. And he ate grass, just as an oxen ate grass. And his body was wet with the dew each morning. And his hair grew like eagle's feathers. And his nails like bird's claws. Now, chapter 3, and throughout the Old Testament, actually throughout the Bible, we find recorded God's love and mercy. his compassion along with his loving kindness. And it all comes from chapter 3. I believe one of the hardest things that is for a person to say or to do is to say that they are a sinner. To get someone to confess that they are a sinner. That is one of the hardest things that people say when they're witnessing to people, when they're calling on people and encouraging people to come to the Lord, is to get them to admit that they are sinners. But the Bible says we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned, I have sinned, he has sinned, she has sinned, we've all sinned. But I think that's a hard thing for us to do. Even today here in America, as enlightened as we are in God and his love, he forgives and he restores, and he is available through Christ every day, every moment, and people still reject him, still reject his wonderful offer of forgiveness and renewal and restore after we have sinned. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, and we are part of that. We have inherited that, so to speak. We have inherited that sin. And I do believe, because it was a very hard thing for me to come to grips with, to realize that I had sinned against the holy God and that I was a sinner. And I needed to come to the Lord through Jesus Christ in repentance, accepting him as the Lord, being baptized for the remission of sins, raised to walk in that newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that's a hard thing for man to do. Man is full of pride in his heart. But if you notice here, the curse announced upon the Savior to crawl on his belly in the dust. But also there was a curse for Adam and Eve. As we read in the scripture here, Eve, because you have been charmed by this cunning person, you're going to suffer. And here's how you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in childbearing. Not only did he curse Satan, the serpent, and Eve, he cursed Adam, the first man created. And he said, Adam, because you have listened to your wife, because you too have disobeyed my command, because you have listened to this sly one, you're cursed. And Adam, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. I'm not going to give you the fruits from the trees. I'm not going to give you manna from heaven. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to till through the thorns and the briars and stuff. You're going to have to till that ground, and you're going to have to earn your bread. You're going to have to work for your living. And so man has been cursed with that ever since chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Well, that's the beginning, and I believe that's a ray. That is a ray of the cross and resurrection. Right there out of the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the very beginning of time. And I want to say to you, this that has taken place, we can be hopeful. That we can realize that God's knowing that you would sin and I would sin, God knew that Adam would sin, God knew that Eve would sin. And someone will say, well, why didn't God make us so we wouldn't sin? We would be robots. We would not have the privilege. We would not have the choice. As we've told one young man yesterday, God give us a choice. That's one of the great things that God give us, to choose what we lack, what we want to do, where we want to go, and so forth. And he gave us that choice to choose to serve him or to be beguiled, as Eve said, by Satan and all his evil works. But we can have hope. when we realize that God knows that we are not perfect, that God knows that we have faults, that God knows we have weaknesses, that God knows that we sin. And right here in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, he made provision for that. Satan is going to pay dearly for what he did. You know, Satan doesn't go around like a snake today. Yeah, he took on that form of a serpent, it says. The serpent was cursed. Satan was told that he was cursed and he was going to pay a dear penalty for what he'd done. You know, God making a plan for man was not an afterthought. You have some people that says, you know, God made a mistake when he made man. And then after the man made a mistake, then God had to go to thinking and he come up with the idea here to send a Savior. Oh no! It wasn't an afterthought. Our salvation, my friend, was made, it was a beforethought. Before time began, God had you on his mind. God knew you would sin, and God made provisions for you to be redeemed from that sin right there in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. And as we see, that we have the hope and we have the right for, realized right here in Genesis. This is actually a promise. When God told Satan, your head would be crushed, your head would be bruised, and then when you look at the right wording, that means a crushing. He's going to crush your head. And that means that we're going to have freedom from Satan and all his sins. And it's made possible. And so the fulfillment of this Genesis 3, of this curse upon Satan, comes about through God's love at John 3:16. Do whatever you want to. You just have to see it. You can trace from Genesis 3. You can trace it right down to John, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was a promise right there. Right there in the Garden of Eden, he made that promise to mankind. God so loved us. So I guess the question this morning, we didn't get very far toward the cross this morning, but that's a big step right there. For us to realize that right there in the very beginning, God had it all planned out. And that plan come to realization through Christ Jesus at Calvary. So we'll travel on next week a little bit, hopefully get a little farther. But I wanted to share some thoughts about this. Probably you've never heard it like that. Hopefully there are some new things and some new thoughts for you. But think about it as you go through the week. How terrible it was, but how wonderful it is. Genesis 3, where it all began. And a promise is to you and to me. Have you received that promise of eternal life from God through Jesus Christ? If not, you can do that this morning as we stand and sing the first verse of our hymn. Stand with me, please. Only trust. Only trust him. So
thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. Thank you for your kind attention to the Word. And I do pray that it is encouraging to you to know that, hey, you're not an afterthought of God, that you was thought of before time ever began. And He made provisions for you. He loves you in that way. Michael, would you ask God's blessing as we leave?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being able to come into your house this morning to hear your word this morning. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters in Christ here today. We ask that you opened our hearts and our ears to your message this morning, that we understand that we were not an afterthought, that you had us on, we were on your mind this entire time. You love us so much. As we go forth, please help us to remember your great love for us. Please help us to do things rightly and make you proud. We ask for your forgiveness where we fall short and for your protection. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.